Chapter 15. Dr. Jekyll Disappears. The dead man was dressed in clothes far too large for him. Poole pointed out that he was wearing a favorite cashmere jacket of Dr. Jekyll's. In one hand, Hyde was clutching a broken glass tube, and the scent of bitter almonds was in the air. "A suicide," pronounced Mr. Utterson. "We have come too late, either to save him or to punish him. Now the only thing we can do, Poole, is find the body of your master." With great energy they searched the office, its closets and corners. Finding no one, they extended the search into the laboratory. There, most closets were empty or screened with undisturbed dusty cobwebs, so it was apparent that no body could have been stuffed in recently.
"He might be buried under the flooring," suggested Poole without much conviction. "Or maybe he was taken out the back door and buried elsewhere."
But when they examined the back door, they found it locked and the key thrown in a corner, broken and rusted. Baffled, they returned to the office. Mr. Utterson began a methodical search of the room, not for a body, but for a clue. He glanced at a book lying open on the tea table. It was a religious work that Jekyll had once praised to him. Now Utterson saw blasphemies, wild, raging criticisms, written by Jekyll on its pages. The lawyer turned away, upset, and saw Poole wiping a smudge of dirt from his face at the full-length mirror.
"I was just thinking, Mr. Utterson," said Poole, "if this looking-glass could only talk, it would tell us what we want to know."
Utterson nodded in agreement. "No doubt it has seen some strange sights here, and no sight more strange than its own presence in a room of science. I wonder why Jekyll installed it." Poole had no answer as he adjusted his tie. Utterson turned to the orderly stacks of papers on one table and found an envelope addressed to himself on top. When he opened it, three documents fell out. The first was a will by Jekyll, drawn up in the same eccentric terms as the one locked away in the lawyer's safe. But where Hyde's name appeared in the original will in Utterson's safe, in this new will, Utterson's own name had been substituted.
"Bless me, what can this mean?" exclaimed the lawyer. "Jekyll cut Hyde out of his will in my favor, yet Hyde did not destroy the will. He surely had no cause to like me."
The next document brought a cry of joy from Utterson, because it was marked with a date.
"Oh, Poole," cried the lawyer, "look here. Dr. Jekyll was alive and in this room today. Hyde could not have disposed of him so quickly. He must be alive and in hiding."
Poole's excitement turned to puzzlement.
"Why should he hide, Mr. Utterson?"
"Ah, that is the point, Poole. Am I correct in calling this man on the floor a suicide?
We must proceed very carefully in order not to involve the doctor in some catastrophe. Listen to what he writes." Utterson read aloud. "My dear Utterson, when this shall fall into your hands, I shall have disappeared. How or why I shall have gone, I cannot foresee, but I feel the end is near. Lanyon told me he intended to place a document in your hands. Read it now. Then, if you wish to know more, turn to the confession I have enclosed with this letter. I am your unworthy and unhappy friend, Henry Jekyll." The two men stared down at the table at the sealed packet that was Jekyll's confession. Finally, the lawyer picked it up and put it in his pocket.
"I am going home, Poole, where I can read this document in quiet," said Utterson. "But first I will read Dr. Lanyon's document, which is in my safe. Whether Dr. Jekyll is in hiding or is dead, we can at least try to save his reputation."
He consulted his watch.
"It is now 10 o'clock. I will be back before midnight, and we will send for the police at that time."
Poole nodded and followed Utterson out of the office and the laboratory, locking the door to the laboratory after them. Although Poole had removed the kettle from the fireplace in the doctor's office, the fire continued to burn brightly, keeping a dead man warm.